Well, happy Friday and welcome back to the 5-Day Reading Plan podcast. I'm your host, Lance Ward, and I will take you through some of the passages that we read together this week in the 5-Day Reading Plan. The PDF copy of this is available in the description of this podcast. And if you're listening and you think that I might have a face for TV, which I think I mainly just have a face for radio, but if you're listening and you're interested in what I look like or you want to watch this on video, you can also go to resources.crossings.church where you can watch this podcast each week. But if you'd rather listen, hey, I get that. But we're in week 14 now. My favorite math problem, 7 times 2, 14. That's where we are, week 14. And we read this past week several interesting chapters. We finished up Joshua, reading chapter 14 through the end. We started in this wild and wacky book of Judges, chapters 1 through 6, and then we read Psalm 15, Psalm 16, and Psalm 116. And we went into the New Testament in Luke 17 through 21. Caleb's words in Joshua 14, verse 8, are worth heeding whenever our circumstances seem too daunting. As Caleb hearkens back to Numbers 13, he recounts a genuine fear the spies felt when they saw the size of their opponents in the Promised Land. We can also feel real fears when circumstances overwhelm us, too, of course. But notice Caleb's words. "My brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." Though Caleb saw the same giants his peers saw, he viewed them through the lens of God's power and promises. He knew that God would not fail to do what he said he would do. Speaking of God's promises, note the climactic statement of Joshua 21:45. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All had come to pass. When I hear this statement, my thoughts fast forward to what we might say one day when all has been made right and we dwell with God in the new heavens and the new earth. We will look back and we will see that everything God had promised will have come true. There will be not one speck of God's past guarantees that will have gone unfulfilled. He will have validated to us that He is indeed the faithful God. Finally, one other note in Joshua, rewinding back to Joshua 20, verses 1 through 6, notice that when the Lord establishes cities of refuge, He is concerned not only with the prosecution of the guilty, but also the protection of the innocent. In establishing these cities of refuge, the Lord is enforcing the idea that prosecution should not be hasty, nor should vigilantes put themselves above the law. The cities of refuge were put in place to see to it that great care was taken in instances where lives were lost, because loss of life is a very serious matter. So justice, especially when it involves the loss of human life, should be carefully thought through and carried out rather than executed in the heat of the moment. That is not only how Israel was supposed to be, but how God's character already was and is, slow to anger. As we began Judges this week, I remembered two things. The first one was this: how this book is such a roller coaster of craziness. It's like a soap opera contained within the scriptures. Judges is a book that can draw the interest of just about anyone, regardless their devotion to God, just because of all the stories that are told in this book. It is one, as one person says, it's one wild ride. And so secondly, speaking of wild rides, I developed a habit in the past of reading Judges where I marked the roller coaster phrases that reveal the fickleness of God's people as they wavered back and forth from disobedience to repentance to obedience. A couple of common phrases that we see often, one is, "And the people did what was evil in the sight of the Lord." And then, usually a few verses later, "Then the people cried out to the Lord." This seems to not only be a theme in Judges, but in much of the Bible as well. And it's true in our lives often, isn't it? We all have highs and lows in our faith journeys. So as you read through this book of ups and downs, maybe make this prayer one that you pray often. And that is this: "Lord, breed in my heart a consistent faith and trust." We are so inconsistent, aren't we? But God is always consistent, and may He make us more like Him in that way. So let's watch out as we read through Judges that we don't just notice the fickleness of the people then, but become more aware of the same thing in our own hearts now. And watch out for one other theme, a phrase repeated several times in Judges, which also serves as the last line of the book. And it's this: in those days, everyone did what was right to him in his own eyes. When I hear that, I think of a phrase quite common in our day, the phrase, my truth. Have you ever heard someone claim that they have chosen to live according to their own truth? I can't help but think that's exactly what was going on in Judges. People did what was right in their own eyes. How did that work out for them? Think about that as you read, and as you think about modern day that we live in, where sometimes personal truth reigns over some other form of objective truth that comes from the outside. You know, I just love Psalm 16. In fact, this is my wife Jenny's one of her favorite psalms, and it feels like a masterpiece from start to finish. In times of trouble and uncertainty, may our hearts repeat what the psalmist says in 16, verse 2, apart from you, I have no good thing. And also for such times, may we always remember our future written beautifully in Psalm 16:11. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. Like Tolkien's character Samwise Gamgee, we may find our hearts sometimes asking, will there ever be a day when everything sad will come untrue? The biblical answer is yes. And not only that, every eternal thing will be far greater than our finite minds on this earth can imagine. At your right hand, the psalmist says, are pleasures forevermore, eternal pleasures. In Psalm 116, the psalm writes of the Lord, he has heard my cries, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. Is your default setting to call on the Lord when times get tough? Do you have any past experiences of his rescue following your pleas? Are you keeping track of such things so that you can not only look back, but proclaim to future generations what God has done for you? That's what the psalmist often does. In the New Testament, here was another interesting passage. I think last week we talked about some difficult passages. Luke 17:10 is like this. It's where Jesus is talking about what attitudes we should have when we're serving in his name. And here's the attitude he says. Welcome to Happy Thoughts. We are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty. Oh, nice. What a humbling disposition. This tosses out all pride we might feel when serving in Christ's name. It speaks to the vanity of doing good deeds in order to feel better about ourselves or to win the praise of others. And I thought about this because in another place, Jesus would say, let your light so shine before others. So he says that on one hand, but then he says, but your service is not deserving of special recognition. You just are doing what you're called to do. So I wondered when I read that, how can he promise us future rewards, yet tell us that things which garner such rewards are simply our duty in the here and now? It's something to meditate on. It's something to ponder in our hearts, and it can be a productive tension to consider. So you might chew on that a little bit yourself. I remember hearing someone say regarding self-awareness one time, watch your pronouns. With that in mind, did you catch how many times the Pharisee uses the pronoun I in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector? I counted 5 times. The tax collector, though, only referred to himself as a direct object when he said, have mercy on me. When we think about our faith, let us always be mindful that we are not the subject of any righteousness we have. We are only the direct objects of God's gracious mercies. When we face the Lord one day, let's not be fooled into thinking we can pull out a resume of our own goodness and talk about what I have done, and I did this, and I did that, and I did that. But rather, let us think of nothing but pointing to the man at God's right hand as our only hope for eternal life. Speaking of subjects and direct objects, you may have noticed a strong contrast between the rich young ruler in Luke 18 and Zacchaeus in Luke 19. I think Luke may have intentionally placed these stories close to one another to sort of make some points. You see that each man's disposition and response to Jesus can serve as healthy examples to us, and each man's story is a reminder of what salvation or a lack of salvation looks like, a turning from earthly treasures to the ultimate treasure of Christ. One man wanted to continue being the subject and ruler of his own life, while the other, by the grace of God, saw the wonder and joy of letting Christ be in charge. One man could not understand how life could be satisfying apart from earthly treasures. The other gladly released his earthly treasures for the greatest treasure of all. In light of that, and as we close out today, I pray that these weekly readings are doing the same thing in your heart, helping you to crave Jesus more and more and the treasures of this world less and less. Next week, we pick up Judges 7 through 21. We will read three psalms, Psalm 17, Psalm 21, and Psalm 146. We will also finish up Luke and sort of dive into Acts chapter 1 and 2. So I hope you have a good week of reading this week. It's going to be there's a lot of good content for next week. So enjoy this week, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks for joining us on the 5-Day Reading Plan podcast.